Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading, I Inherited My Grandmother's Lakeside House, But She Never Properly Warmed Me, by Franglich, from Reddit. I hope you enjoy it, and a huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible, and my cat Gary. Let's get started. My grandmother, when she was alive, lived on an old farm on the side of a hill in a remote village in northern Sweden, right next to a beautiful lake surrounded by mountains. Whenever we were there, we would spend all day swimming or fishing for perch and crayfish. Grandmother was, however, always very assertive that we must never go out on the lake during the night, though she never gave us any reason. I always assumed she was worried that something would happen while no one was around to help. Of course, time passes, and last year so did my grandmother. My grandfather died when I was very young, so my grandmother's passing left the house empty. And neither my mother nor any of her siblings were interested in moving out to the middle of nowhere. I, on the other hand, worked remotely most of the time, and though I don't really expect to work the land, the solitude sounded quite appealing. Along with the house itself, I inherited furniture, a tractor, some old farming equipment, and, of course, the small wooden rowing boat we would use whenever we were visiting. I have a single neighbor, a strange old man named Leonard, who lives in a small cottage further up the hill across the road from me. He mostly likes to keep to himself, but I have offered to let him use the boat if he wants to do some fishing, and to help out with clearing snow during the winter. One night after I had finally settled in and was mostly unpacked, I stood by the window in my bedroom looking out over the lake. The moon was peeking out over the mountains opposite and cast a beautiful glow on the still water. Suddenly, I was reminded of my grandmother's warnings not to go out on the lake during the night. My curiosity got the better of me, and I made my way down to the boathouse. As I made my way down to the lake, I heard footsteps and a voice calling out behind me. Startled, I turned around to see Leonard. He seemed flustered and asked me almost accusingly why I was going down to the boathouse at this hour. Confused and a little annoyed at his sudden intrusion, I told him that I felt like taking the boat out for a little midnight trip since this was such a beautiful night. He insisted that going out on the lake during the night was unsafe. Had my grandmother not warned me? In hindsight, I feel extremely childish about this, but his insistence just made me more motivated. I told him that I was fully aware of the risks of taking a boat out at night, but that I was a grown adult incapable of making my own decisions. Leonard grumbled, and I could tell that he was still very agitated, but he relented and with a grunt and a dismissive wave, started making his way back up the hill. I pushed my boat out on the water and jumped in. The water was very still, and the combination of the moonlight and almost complete silence of any sounds made for an incredibly soothing experience. I settled around the middle of the lake, perhaps 300 meters from the shore. At this point, I could see most of the houses in the village and the neighboring village. Looking over toward my house, I suddenly realized that Leonard's cottage was entirely dark. He usually had some lights on in the windows, so that was certainly odd, but I could only assume that he had blown a fuse. Around me, the stillness of the water was disturbed by bubbles. Before I knew it, the water was filled with frenzied activity, and with a lurch, the boat suddenly started moving back toward the shore. I was moving significantly faster than my rowing had taken me out onto the lake, and I was holding on for dear life. I worried I would crash into the boathouse, but whatever pushed my boat along navigated it safely back to the spot where I would normally keep it moored, and it slid softly back onto land. I stood up, scared and confused, and looked around. Three dark and bloated silhouettes emerged from the water. In the moonlight, they looked almost like soldiers in ghillie suits, but they clearly wore no diving equipment. They approached swiftly and grabbed me. The creatures smelled vaguely of fish and decaying vegetation, and they spoke in a language I could not comprehend. I managed to make out a single word that was repeated multiple times. Mermelgard. They dragged me inside the boathouse. One of them looked me dead into the eyes and covered my mouth as it made a gargled hushing sound. Its face was clearly not human, with bulging eyes without eyelids, two slits in place of a nose and no visible ears. I realized it was in fact not wearing anything. However, its leathery dark brown skin seemed to mimic the appearance of decaying leaves. Of course, I was scared nearly out of my mind at this point, but for some reason I didn't attempt to flee. The creature seemed almost as scared as I was, so I complied and kept quiet. They turned off the lights and settled down around me. We waited in there for what felt like an eternity, but was most likely only a couple of minutes. The silence outside was suddenly broken by a loud splash and the sound of wood splintering. I could hear that something was emerging from the lake, followed by heavy, damp footsteps. From what I could tell, it seemed to be moving up the hill as the footsteps were getting more and more distant. As I sat in that boathouse, my senses turned to max by all of the adrenaline coursing through my body. The sounds of breaking glass and splintering wood reached us. Eventually, the footsteps returned, and whatever had come after us out of the lake made its way back into the water. A couple of minutes later, the three creatures that brought me into the boathouse quietly exchanged a few words. The one that had hushed me earlier gestured that I was free to leave, and then they left. I could hear them going back into the water. I fell back against the wall and slid down to the floor as my adrenaline abated and the fear truly set in. I didn't move from that spot until the following morning. My house looked like a crime scene. The front door, along with its frame, had been torn out of the wall and lay several meters away on my lawn. Most of my windows and furniture was in pieces, and pools of water dotted the floor throughout the house. Leonard clearly knew more about the creatures that live in the lake. I resented that he hadn't been more forceful in stopping me from going out with the boat. However, logically, I knew I wouldn't have believed him if he had started going on about monsters, and what was he supposed to do? Nevertheless, I marched over to his cottage and banged on the door until he eventually opened it. He seemed both surprised and relieved that I was standing there, and he offered me a cup of coffee and an explanation. The lake is inhabited by a creature known as Mermelgard, and creatures known as the Vatnera. And generally, they live together in peace, but they have very different opinions on us humans. Leonard and my grandmother used to spend time with the Vatnera, and they understood some of their language. Their word for human roughly translates as foolish ones. They say that humanity is not mature, and they mostly settle with observing us. Mermelgard is an ancient creature that sleeps during the day and hunts at night. He is resentful of humanity for settling around his lake, eating his fish, and disturbing the darkness of the night with artificial lights. I still live in my grandmother's old house. Leonard has promised to introduce me to the Vatnera in their own time. I feel an obligation to thank them and to protect others from Mermelgard. I will never go out on the lake during the night again, but I feel strangely safe to do so during the day. And that's the end of the story. I really hope you appreciate it. Gary appreciates it too, wherever he is a crazy little cat. Thank you for listening. If you're on YouTube, I would appreciate it so much if you'd like the video so that YouTube might show it to more people. And if you're anywhere else, I'm not sure what your options are, but I appreciate you for, you know, leaving your comments and subscribing. If you'd like to support this channel even more and help support my shawarma and pizza addiction, which actually I've been good on the pizza as of recording, it's been a while, but shawarma, I eat that all the time. You can go to Patreon and, you know, there's some goodies there, like early access and stuff like that. Some cat pics. Also, there's cat pics in the Discord if you want to come see cute little Gary and other cats. It's a great place. So come share your cats and dogs and whatever animals, pets you have. And I just thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And I hope I'll see you in the next one. Take care now. Bye-bye then.